Morning, I want to talk about the battle in worship. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about how to use worship in battle, but I'm talking about the battle in worship or the struggle in worship. And I'm going to go into that this morning. But here's what I want you to remember. When we talked about worship, we said that worship comes from two words, worth and ship. Worth and ship. And the word ship indicates the integrity or the weight of that which you're talking about. For instance, when we say friendship or sportsmanship, we're talking about the weight of the integrity of the very subject. And so when we say worth-ship, it's the same word as worship. We talk about the heaviness, the integrity of the worth of what we're talking about. So that's where the word worship comes from, saying there's someone worthy and there's something worth. And because you and I have been created to worship, every one of us is a worshiper. The question is, who are we worshiping? What are we worshiping? And when are we worshiping? But everybody always has something you put worth into. You put worth into something, and that is expressed by where you put your time, your energy, your passion, your resources at different moments in life. You put that there. So this morning, as we talk about the battle in worship, I want to talk about how sometimes we struggle with worshiping the created versus the creator. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, the Bible says that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the what? The created things rather than the creator, who's forever worthy of praise. The creator is worthy of praise forever, but it says they exchanged the truth and they began to worship the created versus the creator. This week, as I've just been studying, the Holy Spirit helped me see some things in my own life that where I found myself getting caught up in worshiping the created versus the creator. For instance, I think about this. If I am preparing to teach and I'm preparing to teach and I hear God tell me, I want you to say this, and I say, oh God, no, I don't want to say that because I want them to like me or I don't want to offend somebody. At that point, I've worshipped the created versus the creator because I'm more focused on somebody than him. Because now I don't want to do what he wants me to say. I want to say what will make somebody. Then at that point, the audience has become the focus. And so it is the created versus the creator. Get it? And so if you hear me sometimes preaching, I say, hey guys, you know, I love you, but I got to tell you this. You know, it's been one of those moments where you have to preface it with love in order to throw the punch, right? I love you, hey. Here it is. But it's because it was uncomfortable, right? But the moment I have to remember that I have to focus, even as a preacher or a minister, that the creator is the focus, not the created. Make sense? Or what if sometimes a worship leader will choose songs based on what he knows people will like? Right? Versus what the Holy Spirit may lead them into. So instead of asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to bring to you? It is, what will they like? At that point, people have become the focus, even though it's kind of worship, but now the people who are the created have become the center of worship versus the creator. Does that make sense? So it's so easy that even as we do life and move on in God and things like that, it's easy to find ourselves worshiping the created versus the creator. And what about when, you know, there's songs we like, and we say, well, I really like that song. Now, here's the point is, do you like the song best on how it makes you feel, or do you like the song because of how it expresses your heart to God? Now, if I like the song because of how it makes me feel, now the song, the created song, has become my focus of worship. So now I'm worshiping the song than the creator. Because it's not about how I express my heart to God, it's about how the song makes me feel. Do you see how subtle this can be? Because when we think about worshiping not the created and worship the creator, we can, our mind totally goes to, oh, I don't worship trees, I don't worship oceans, I don't worship idols, I don't worship that. But then we forget that there's subtle ways that sneak into our lives that we may find ourselves worshiping the created versus the creator. I can find myself worshiping my job, or worshiping my family, or worshiping my spouse, or worshiping my kids, or worshiping church traditions, because it begins to become the focus. And all those things are created. And the Bible says, because they exchanged the truth of God and began to worship the created, or the creature, versus the one who created everything. Can I get an amen? Amen. Church traditions can be a very big trap. You know, there have been people that have gone to a church, and because they were wearing shorts and sandals, the usher stopped them right there and said, okay, you, no, don't you have better clothes? Come on, man, how can you come to the house of God like that? And they turned them away because they were caught in traditions, right? And there have been times when people would say, well, if you get baptized but you didn't wear a white robe in your baptism and didn't have candle, didn't have a white towel, that wasn't baptism. Because we get focused on the tradition more than the creator. And you can find yourself, even in a church setting, worshiping the traditions more than him. So it's so important that to realize that in everything we do, what is the center of what we focus on? Because you can find yourself worshiping the created versus the creator. Can I get an amen? You see, Jesus was tempted in the same way. He was tempted by worshiping the created, just as you and I are tempted to worship the created every time. So the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, Jesus, he is being tempted by the devil. Again, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, let me ask you, what is that? They're created. What are the kingdoms done? They've been created. All the kingdoms of the world are what? Created, right? They said Jesus was shown what has been created. What did the devil tell him? He said to him, all these things I'll give to you if you fall down and worship me. In other words, if you bow down, if you bow in, if you bow in to the created, you get everything. He was tempted in the same way you and I are tempted. When you are tempted to worship what has been created, to bow in, I want you to take that word, fall down, in others, to bow down. Today we use the word bow in, right? We use the word give in. When pressures and stuff come at you and you have to give in instead of worshiping God, he says Jesus was tempted in the same way. Here's what trips me up. Because the devil was created, but the devil went to the creator to tempt him to worship the created. You see, Jesus, because he was 100% God and 100% man, the devil thought, this is what I've tripped men over and over and over again. So before Jesus came, we've all been tempted to worship the created versus the creator. So the devil thought he could pull the same trick against Jesus, also the same way. He says, first of all, he's 100% man. I've done this with men. I've been very, very successful to cause them to worship the created versus the creator. I'm just going to go to him and do the same thing. So he goes to Jesus and does the same thing he's done to man over thousands of years and still doing today. Now, to worship the Creator, you don't have to be a sinner. You don't have to be ungodly. You could be perfect as Jesus. You'll still be tempted to worship the Creator. Because Jesus wasn't a drug dealer, wasn't just a wicked man. He was as righteous as you could think. But yeah, he was tempted. Now, I'm going to ask you, if Jesus was tempted to worship the Creator, what makes you think you and I are exempt from being tempted to worship what has been created? So Jesus is tempted. Until today, you and I are constantly being tempted to worship what has been created versus the Creator. Now, verse 10, then Jesus said, now look at this, people. Jesus turns around and says, be gone, sin. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall worship, that Jesus says, hey, look, I will not worship the created. I'm going to worship the Creator. I'm not going to put more worth on what has been created. I put more worth on the Creator. I'm not putting more focus on what has been created. I'm putting more focus on who created it. Jesus was tempted in the same way you and I will always be tempted. You see, sometimes we forget that in the first place, the things that we may be drawn to worship, the created things, were created. They're not the source in themselves. Sometimes you may find yourself worshiping a job and forgetting that the job you're worshiping is the job he gave you in the first place. It's a job he created. Now you're worshiping the same job he created. It's crazy when you think about that, that sometimes we find ourselves worshiping the very thing he's given us. Putting more focus and more worth on it. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy the things God has given you, but it means that I can't put more focus on what has been created over the Creator. Can I get an amen? You see, God always said, please do not forget where the Lord has brought you from. Do not forget what he's done for you. Do not forget that he gave you the house. Do not forget he gave you the job to make the money. He don't forget that he gives you every air that you breathe every morning when you wake up every morning. You don't forget. It is the goodness of God. You don't forget that. That everything you have, who you are, and all that you got, it's him. And so he is the only one that is worth to be worshipped. That's why Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and only him shall have the worship. Only him shall have the worth. Only him. Only him. You see, in Deuteronomy, God told his people. In Deuteronomy, he says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this richness, this wealth. Now, what is your power? What is your hand? Created. Do not think that the created has gotten me where I am. It is, he says, do not forget. Do not forget and say in your heart that I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I got the looks, I got the connections, I got the people. No, do not forget that your power, that your might has gotten you where you are. Do not forget that. This is what God says. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power, the ability. It's him who gives you that power that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers unto this day. Remember, it's the Lord. He's the one who gives you every ability, every ability, every ability, every ability. He's the Creator. Remember, it's not the created, it is the Creator. Now look at verse 19, and if you forget the Lord, if you forget the Lord, your God, and go after other gods that we have, what are other gods? gods. God, we said the word God means a title. God is not a name. It's a title that means the all-sufficient, all-powerful, the source. That's what the word God means. If you think something else has become your source, if you think your job is your source, if you think your connections are your source, if you think your network is your source, then you are forgetting God, because your job, your connections, your looks, everything about that you have is all a resource, but not the source. Him only is a source. So he says, don't forget, when the job becomes so good and becomes so comfortable and the job pays well and you feel like you've made it, he said, do not forget to serve that and worship them. Now, how many know I'm not going to go and say, my job, you're worthy, or my house, you're worthy, or my car, you're worthy. We're not going to do that. It's through the actions we do. It's the emphasis we put on it. It's the focus we put on. The people who have sacrificed their families are the altar of their jobs. The people that have sacrificed money are the altar of their families. The people that have sacrificed their relationship with God are the altar of money, because now those things become an idol, because I'll do anything that I can to get that money. I'll do anything I can for my job, because my job is my world to me. And God says, if you, that's how we worship them. We put worth into them. We don't sing praises to them. It's through the actions we do. Right? And God says, that all is created. And God says, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. You see, here's what I need us to remember, guys, according to God's word. In Psalms 103 and verse 1 and 2, this is what David said when he was going through a hard time in his life. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, sometimes we need to realize that when I come to church, a worship leader is not supposed to be a cheerleader. He ain't supposed to be telling me, now hear it. A worship leader ain't supposed to be telling me to clap my hands or get into it or raise my hands. Worship leader ain't supposed to be telling me that. Because if I know the benefits of the Lord, if I know the goodness of God, if I know that I was a sinner and he saved me, if I know that I was lost and he found me, if I know that I was screwed and he came, and if I know I've messed up 100 times, but yet he's been merciful, if I know that I am a child of God and I know I'm forgiven, if I know his benefits that I was sick and he healed me, if I know he's blessed me, he's given me a job, he's given me a life, if I know his goodness, because bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, that everything I have is not in my power, my ability, it's by his grace. Then when I come to church, I don't need to be cheered on to worship God, because I know, bless the Lord, all my soul, and not forget his benefits. That the clothes I'm putting on is because of the cotton he created. The jacket I got is because of the sheep he created. The car I drive is because of the raw materials he created. I didn't buy the gasoline. It's because of the oil he put in the ground. Everything that I have is the Lord's, and the bless the Lord. The reason I can drive, because he's given me eyesight that I can drive. Somebody's blind, right? Somebody's blind. They can't drive. Yes, I got a job, but he gives me the ability to wake up and show up at a job. He's given me the aptitude to be able to think. He's given me the ability to process what I do. I may not love the job I have, but I'm telling you, somebody else would wish to have the job I have. I may not enjoy what I do, but tell you what, somebody else in the world says, man, I wish I made your amount of money. You see, there are things in life that even though it may not be as good, but it could have been worse if it wasn't for the goodness of God. So I bless the Lord, and I did not forget his benefits. God has positioned you where you are. God has brought it to you. God has given you what you got. And it's the Lord. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. It's the goodness of the Lord. So when I think about the Lord, you know what that's a, when I think about the Lord, 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 when I think about the Lord and his goodness and his mercy towards me, I break into worship, because then I know it's the Creator, not the created. And my heart will not go after the created. My heart will be focused on the Creator of all things. No matter how rough your week might be, guys, you always have to remember God's hand is with you. His mercies are there. No matter how tough it gets, he is with you. He won't forsake you. He's there for you. He knows exactly what you're going through. His hand is all around it. His mercy is all around it. You just have to hang in there, because you know the greater one is with you. And that's a benefit you get. You see, here's a problem. When I forget the Lord's benefits, then I might fall victim to worshiping the created. But when I still remember it is the Lord, then my heart will escape the trap of worshiping what has been created. Right? You see, sometimes worshiping God, putting worth on God, putting value on God is going to be a sacrifice. Because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. And this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, and it says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God, brethren, that you present your bodies, as what? As a living sacrifice. I was reading a book, and somebody made a comment. They said, the problem of living sacrifices, they keep crawling away from the altar. I'm like, man, that is really cool. You know, you're living, so you just keep getting up. You're supposed to be, but you keep walking away, right? I thought that was really good. But he says, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your spiritual worship. Sacrifice. So when I sacrifice to worship God, it says it's acceptable to God. It's pleasing to God. When is the last time you made a sacrifice to worship God? When is the last time when it wasn't easy, you still worship? It wasn't comfortable, you still worship. Maybe it required you to wake up extra 2 hours and you still did it. When is the last time it was really hard, inconveniencing, very challenging, very tough, out of your comfort zone, and you still press through to offer God a sacrifice? You see, the word sacrifice means it's not comfortable, it's not easy, it's not fitting, it's not conducive, it's not pleasant. It is a sacrifice because it is a sacrifice, because it's hard, because it's not easy. But when is the last time you and I have pressed through to give God worth when it wasn't easy? You see, that scripture sometimes is used, you know, especially to focus on renewing of the mind. But the whole point really is about worship. He said that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because when I begin to put worth on God, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not easy, when it's not convenient, and I put worth on the Creator versus the created, that sacrifice, the Bible says, it's a living sacrifice unto God. It's pleasing to God. It's acceptable to God. You see, my heart breaks because sometimes I don't love as much as I know how. Sometimes my heart breaks because I don't pray as much as I would love to. Sometimes I'm not able to be in the Word as much as I know how to. Sometimes I'm not able to focus on God as much as I want to. And my heart breaks because Many times I know better and I don't do better. Sometimes I know that I'm not doing what I know to do, because you know what happens? The created gets in the way of my creator, and I'm not able to put worth on the creator because the created has stepped in the way, and suddenly I'm not able to put worth on the things of the creator because the created has captured me. And I pray that I can help myself not to exchange the truth where I start to worship the created versus the creator, because anytime I'm not able to put worth on God and to put things that put worth on God, it's because the created has snaked in. It's always fighting you and I to worship God. This is a battle in worship. This is a battle in worship. This is a battle in worship that the devil will constantly bring what has been created to hinder the worship of the creator, because the devil was the lead worshiper in heaven. And when he lost his place, he lost his glory. And ever since then, he has vowed to himself that I will never stand to see men worship the creator. And over years, men have turned away from the creator. Just because you are saved doesn't mean you're exempt. Every day, every week, you are being tempted to turn your worship away from the creator to the created. See, sometimes I want to bring my king sparkling jewels, and I find myself bringing him the leftovers. And when I think about that, it grips my heart. I'm like, you've blessed me with everything. You blessed me with 24 hours a day, and what I bring before you is the leftovers when I could have brought you the sparkling jewels because of who you are. Why? Because when I look into my heart, the created got in the way. And I wasn't able to give worship to the creator of all things. This is a battle. You and I face this all the time, but we don't want to exchange the truth for a lie. Because as birds were created to fly, you and I have been created to worship. And I want to finish with this verse in Revelation 4 verse 10. It says, the 24 elders fall down, they bow down before him who is seated on the throne, and they worship him. They bow down, they worship him. Who lives forever and ever, they cast their crowns. He gave them the crowns, but they're like, because of who you are, my crowns are down. They cast their crowns before the throne of Jesus. They cast everything is given to them. They say, if it wasn't for you, I don't have what I got. This is nothing to who you are. So they cast their crowns before him. And what they say, worthy. What's the word worship? Worthy ship. They say, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created. Why are they saying that? Because there's a temptation to worship the created. They're saying, God, we are putting this in perspective. We are bringing our mind back. You created all things. We don't want to be caught up worshiping the created, because you created all things. And by your will, they exist. And by your will, they exist and they were created. So everything, my family was created, my job was created, my car was created, my house was created, everything was created. But they bow down and they worship him who is worthy to receive honor, glory, and power. Amen. Glory to God. Let's take a few minutes here, sing a couple songs, just pour our hearts unto God this morning, just worship him and